financial literacy, and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Rayum.
Hi, it's Frances. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jay Dean, along with the Money Doctor, Frances Rayum. Hello.
Well, hello, Jay. How are you?
Good, good.
I'd like to welcome back Angela and Mike Torville from Annie Mac Mortgage. So hello, guys.
Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
You're
always
welcome.
Glad to be back. Yeah.
You're welcome. So let me just give you a brief little background on each of them. Angela is a seasoned mortgage professional, and she's built a reputation as being a lifelong mortgage advisor, in no small part because she has built a team of experts who support someone through the entire mortgage process. She's not just there when you write your app, you close your loan, you're done. Okay. Mike brings with him, you know, a lot of experience in this industry as well, a deep understanding of the industry, an extensive mortgage lending experience. And he's actively involved in things like community outreach and financial education initiatives, which is how our paths crossed initially. We want people to be smarter about money. And one of the biggest purchases you will ever make is real estate. Creative solutions. Let's talk about some other creative solutions. A simple one, right? That, because obviously you're giving away the keys to the kingdom here. And I want
No gatekeeping.
I want people to come and talk to you about it. And we have the same idea. If you tell people the truth and you explain things, they understand you're knowledgeable, they will work with you. But creative solutions, let's talk about buy downs and seller credits. Buy downs, points.
Which is effectively prepaid interest. And that's all it is. So
yes, yeah. Explain to the layman.
Well, you know, points, they could be used for so many reasons. One, if you certainly want to pay a discount point to lower your interest rate, that could help you to qualify. There's one simple reason to say, hey, we lowered your interest rate by having a discount point. And if the seller, you talked about seller credits towards a purchase, sometimes the seller will credit an amount towards the closing cost, and they could go towards discount points, if all the money adds up enough. There may be reasons to pay points because, well, you got to look at the bigger picture too. What's the payback? I'm going to pay a lower interest rate because I paid some money up front. How long will it take me to break even? And do I expect to be in the house for that period of time? Is there anything that's going to change in that period of time that I'm going to refinance or purchase? You know, not everybody knows the answer to that, but if you can think about it, yeah, I'm going to be in this house for 10, 15 years. It may make sense for you to pay a couple points and lower that interest rate because you're paying now to save later and save more on a longer term. That's not your story. Then I wouldn't pay points. In fact, you would pay 0 points. But if you say, I'm only be in this house for 2 or 3 years, if the payback typically is 48 to 60 months, 4 to 6 years, call it five,
right?
That's the benchmark you got to think about. And that's one basic thing to think about when considering points. Simple math, right? 1 point is 1% of the loan. And that 1 point paid up front typically reduces your interest rate by about 0.25%. Is that right, Angela? Ballpark?
It's a mad science.
There's
a lot of background to what it computes to interest rate discount wise.
Yeah. You can pay partial points too. If it makes sense financially, and I know that's where Angela comes in to do the math and find the optimal level. And by the way, the typical life of a mortgage is, you know, call it 5 years. The lenders didn't come up with a break even at 5 years by mistake.
That's right. Yep.
So,
yeah, that doesn't mean that people's mortgages last 5 years, folks. It means that 5 years somebody's doing something. They're selling their house, they're refining it.
Exactly.
You know, something is happening to that loan. At Hug Your Money, we like to have everybody out of all their debt, including their mortgage, in 9 years or less. So a lot of times we won't move that loan because by the 5 year mark, it's you know, we're blowing principal onto it, right? So it doesn't come into effect. What about seller credits? Angela, do you deal much with seller credits?
I try to avoid requiring it. I'll say it that way. I would always recommend seeing if you can incorporate seller credits. There are stipulations on what you can receive based on your financing and your down payment from a seller. So there are caps on what they can give. Typically, people are using that to help with their costs of the loan, and points can be part of those costs. So we could strategize doing a permanent interest rate buy down, purchasing discount points. The other strategy, if you want me to get into it, is called a temporary buy down. And now, typically, not every lender actually offers temporary buy downs, and they only allow sellers to pay for this. What a temporary buy down is we'll call it a 3-2-1 buy down. So you are the seller is in essence prepaying the first 2 years of interest for you to buy down your interest rate. So here's the scenario. The rate today is 6%, and you're using your seller credit to temporary buy down your rate for the first 3 years. So the first year is 4% is what your payment will be based on. The second year would be 5%. And the third year being that par rate that you took at purchase at 6%. Now it's fixed. So it's a fixed interest rate that temporary eases, starts lower and goes up over that course of time. That's a great strategy for someone who might be, holding their breath on the refinance opportunity. Or possibly looking to maybe get out of that loan one way or another in a small window of time instead of taking on an adjustable rate mortgage. Most adjustable rate mortgages require a 10% down payment or more. So you can get into this very low interest rate environment the first 2 to 3 years, or first 2 years, really, usually, with the seller's money. And make out very, very well. It's a great strategy.
Why would a seller do this? For somebody who's just listening to us talking about numbers and they're saying, yeah, that sounds great and interesting, but I don't understand what you're talking about. Why would I be able to use a seller's money to do this?
Well, for a seller, their perspective is net earnings. They're looking for a net amount. They want to walk away with something particular, right? So there's a play on words here that happens a lot, where someone else besides me advising a client to roll into their loan their costs. You can't roll in your costs to your loan. What you do is you offer a higher purchase price to buffer in the credit you're asking from the seller. That's one way to obtain funds from a seller, in this competitive market that we're in. Another way that people tend to obtain seller credits are through their inspections. They do not waive their inspections. I don't get involved in inspections as a lender. I don't need to know. But there could be something that comes up in those inspections that you're able to renegotiate the terms of your contract. And those are typically the two ways right now over the last few years that I see sellers actually contributing towards buyers' costs. Now it's up to the buyer and their advisor, their mortgage advisor, if they have one, to find out the best use of that money.
One of the strategies that I've used with clients over the years, and it's along the same lines as this. It all sounds like gobbledygook to somebody who isn't in finance. You don't have to learn everything about what we're saying. What you have to learn how to do is choose somebody who knows what they're talking about and work with them. That's your job. Choose your teacher, okay? So that's you learn how to learn. That's just a tiny little example of how you can get into a house creatively. We could talk forever about how to creatively do a deal, but when it comes to the lending part, Annie Mac is a direct lender, right? So a direct lender with in-house processing, underwriting, closing, that makes for a smoother and faster deal. Am I right about that, folks?
The only reason I work here. Okay.
The only reason?
Well, not the only reason, a big reason why I'm in retail lending and not brokering.
Can you contrast that to what somebody might experience at another kind of a lending institution?
Well, the speed factor, the team that they get, it's not different every time they pick up the phone and call. You're getting the same 3 to 4 people throughout the whole transaction. We're guiding you. You're getting the same underwriter the whole time. And so what we do here is a no matter what, there is an underwrite happening with your pre-approval. A true pre-approval is an underwritten application. So I usually say this, and not to get off topic, but I'm a loan officer that Annie Mac trusts to do my due diligence properly to make sure when I put my name and their name on that pre-approval letter, we're going to be able to execute that for you.
You are listening to Financial Fitness with the money doctor, Francis Ram, and we'll be right back. This is Financial Fitness on WHMP.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Francis Ram. Let's pick up where we left off, Angela.
So, my Annie Mac's giving me the authority to do my due diligence and pre-approve you properly. So we're executing this for you, and you're closing smoothly. But not every lender is giving out those quality pre-approvals. We are providing a fully underwritten file when you're shopping. That's a no matter what. So the underwriter I call is the gatekeeper. They say you get your money or you don't. And basically they say, prove it. Prove what you told Angela to me. That's what's really happening behind the scenes. So when you're shopping, once you're approved, you're going to have that same underwriter that already developed your file see you to closing. So the likelihood of, because underwriting sometimes is very discretionary. Yes, there's guidelines, but they have the authority of our money to lend. So there's discretion in that. So when you have the same players all the way through, they're not going to change their mind typically. Whereas when you're in another environment and multiple underwriters are looking at things, you can have a set level of conditions. Someone else jumps into the pot. Now we have five more things we need because of their opinion. So with everything being in-house and us being team-oriented from start to finish, you have exactly the same people and you have access to us all. And we all work together for you. So it's a very smooth experience.
Yeah, I'll agree to that because I used to be a broker many years ago, and there's a disconnect, a communication disconnect. And when you try to set expectations, and this one thing I'm big on, setting the right expectations for people. So when something happens, I said, you said this might happen. Oh, it did. So let's go. But it's a minefield out there with brokers, with being when you're broker, because there's all kinds of things, guideline interpretation, various guidelines, and different people, and communication and disconnects. It's tough to keep up. And I agree with Angela because just the mere consistency and reliability with a direct lender and Angela and her team makes all the difference in the world.
I want to agree with Mike on that and say, without embarrassing Mike, that he and I are both older than Angela. And what Angela just described feels a little bit like it used to be, where you went to a bank and you said, I would like a mortgage. And they actually looked at you and talked to you and pulled your credit and read it. They didn't just say, here's your number. They actually read your credit. Being able to work with the same team all the way through, I think must be very comforting. And for a first-time home buyer in particular, that's what I would want for them. I want them to be in the safest, most competent hands they can be in. I do want to ask you though, Angela, you're wearing this shirt that says, don't just bid, win. Yes, don't just bid, win. What's that about? Can you tell us?
So very unique to Annie Mac. Not only are we getting you pre-underwritten, but we've established ownership of a private equity firm called Cash to Keys. So it's very competitive out there, and cash is king, right? So we realize that. So we're putting cash in front of our buyers' financing when they're offering on properties. So we're guaranteeing to a seller on a no matter what, you're closing on this closing date in your contract. There's no extensions allowed. This is going to happen and this will execute. And we follow through. So it.
People just heard the needle on the record, like, you're putting cash in front of, you're putting cash. Let me just, does that bear
Say that
repeating?
out loud.
You're putting cash in front of your buyers. So
Yes.
let's get human about this for a second. Very competitive market. You have the same bid on a house as somebody else has. They're saying, I'm going to pay you cash. and you're saying, I'm going to have to go get a loan. Which one do you think the seller wants? So by putting cash, by Annie Mac putting their cash on the line in front of your deal, you are going to be more competitive. Can you, if I'm right, can you explain that?
Absolutely. I mean, oh, geez, I have so many stories in such a short window of time of my clients winning. And so let
Great.
me just use a VA loan for an example.
Yeah,
Okay.
give us one story that comes to mind,
Oh,
Angela.
this story is so good. So I'm working with a military family who's disconnected because of travel and recruitments and just they're trying to bring the family back together. And we get them first step is always pre-approval and they're shopping with their VA offer. So what a seller is seeing is a VA loan, government loan, who will have some property standards to be met and 0% down. And they're against offers that might say no property standard conventional financing with 20% down. As a seller, it's not always the price of the house and the net, it's the execution of actually it finishing and getting across the finish line. And another offer a lot of people have in is maybe a very strong offer with a large down payment, maybe 50% down, but they're contingent on selling a property they currently own to fulfill that. So with this VA story, they were getting rejected left and right. There's a bad stigma on VA financing because they feel people putting zero down should not even be shopping for a home. What they don't realize, it's an entitlement that was earned.
That's right.
So this particular family, we were able to get them approved with our cash equity firm that we own, and now they're putting cash offers in. So they were rejected about four times. And one time with no other offers on the table, and the realtor feedback was, it's a VA loan, no thanks,
Wow.
which is illegal, but that was what
Yeah.
was said. And so, not only do we have a military family who's displaced, very high emotional transaction, and they're getting rejected, and they just want a wife and husband come back together with the kids. We approve them the cash to keys. They put a cash offer in on a home, accepted. Right, rightfully so, it would be. We close their loan in 3 weeks and they receive money back at closing.
Yay.
So, I mean, it was just it's and they're beautiful clients of mine, and we're going to be connected forever. And so that's a small story, small sample size of that
And it's
one
important to add to
particular.
that. It's important to add to that that in the end did not cost them anything.
Right. Yeah. This is a
Okay.
way for Annie Mac is, and there's so many more things that are coming down the line. We want to serve the community. And in a business mindset, we want market share. We want to dominate. We have some very high caliber loan officers that are working for us here at Momentum, and we're not playing around. We want to win, and we want you to win. And so Annie Mac and the owner has put together these amazing strategies that people are trying to chase our tail feathers on some of these because they're seeing the market share being taken. And it feels really good. It feels really good to be a lender with great strategies, still providing amazing mortgage opportunities that are crafted to a person's situation and helping them win with cash. It's a dream come true for a lender, quite honestly.
It's sort of mind-blowing for anybody like me that, anybody who's been following what we do for the last 17 years will know I won't put a guest on as a sales pitch. I just won't do it. You can't buy your way on my show, right? But you're busting a lot of the myths, like you have to have 20% down to buy a house, or you can get pre-approved and then go shopping and it's all going to work out fine. You're saving people from some disappointments. I mean, let's face it, everybody who wants to buy a home falls in love with the home, right? Even if it's an investment property, you get really excited about how much money you're going to make on that investment property. So it's very disappointing if you go through all this time, you jump through all these hoops, and then you get right to the point of a closing table, or the end of the loan, and oh, gee, it fell apart because somebody didn't do their job upline of you. Somebody didn't see, you told them all the truth. Hey, I told them what I made. They said I was pre-approved. How come now I can't get the loan? So I really appreciated that you folks were so upfront about this. And I just wanted to say how rare that seems to me, and why we've become, closer and talk more often about these kinds of things, because I get courted all the time from mortgage brokers and mortgage lenders. They want to come on and pitch whatever they've got. And it's always something like, well, we have a great new interest rate on a loan. I'm sorry, but you got to do more than that to impress me. I can find that on
Dime a
the
dozen.
internet. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mentioned credit. I wonder if either one of you would like to, or both of you would like to take a crack at this. What do you wish people knew about their credit, or what do you do to help them prepare their credit ahead of getting a loan application in?
I'll start with a simple thing. And annually tackle deeper. I think going back to what I said, the earlier you can be educated or prepared. So the earlier, the soonest you can look at your credit and recognize or identify things that might surprise you. And the earlier you can rectify those surprises, the better, right? Because the last thing you want to do is be chasing some old judgment or some old bill that didn't get recorded right. And that's a pain in the neck, right, to have to do that. So looking at that and understanding what steps you can take to change, improve your credit score, some simple, some take some time, but knowing that up front, because guidelines are based on minimal credit scores and tiers. And if you're just a couple points below that tier or above that tier, and you can get above that tier, that could perhaps improve your qualifying, criteria. It can improve your interest rate. There's lots of things that might change if you get now, but if you asked anybody what their credit score is off the top of their head, and by the way, would you know how that's going to affect your next mortgage? Nobody knows that because it's not a need to know that in everyday life, right? Until you're faced with it. But you have somebody with like for example, a 675 credit score, and they can take measures to get it to 690. Well, the criteria on that loan might be 680, and a little bit of work on that, a little bit of consulting on that might get them over that hump. That's just one example. But my point is, know your credit earlier, as early as possible, so you can know exactly what to do about it if you need to.
So, are you saying that if somebody has been turned down many times for a mortgage, that they could come to you and learn what they could do to turn that around and maybe be approved in the future?
In some cases, yeah. I mean, because again, some of the things that if they've, again, there's so many factors that come into credit, how many inquiries you have,
Yeah, I
and
mean, they have to do the work,
they
right?
have to do the work, but there's lots of factors that affect your score.
Thank you. I can't believe we're almost out of time here, but I do want to ask you one question. How for both of you, how do you balance being educators and lenders? What where do you find it difficult to balance that, if anywhere?
I don't find it difficult. It's part of the experience. It's just completely part of it. I'm not the decision maker. I'm not making the decision for the client. I'm giving them what they need to make it. And at that point, it makes the lending piece of this very easy. I can write a loan in my sleep. That's the easy part. The challenging is more around challenge managing the day. And the workload and the conversations and the consulting and providing the value with high volume. That's more of the challenge. But the experience is the education. That's what it is.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. So, Mike, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I agree with her because it's got to be. I mean, so many borrowers that we speak with, when you talk about this, say, oh, I love when people say, I didn't know that. Oh, I wasn't aware of that. And I feel, oh, good. There's something we set them straight on. So it's just nice to hear that back from borrowers.
That's great. So
Yeah.
I would say that whether you're trying to navigate this mortgage market in this climate, or you just want to be smarter about your finances, I hope you got something out of this show. And I'd like to give Jay Dean the last word. Jay, do you have anything to
Sure.
add?
Well, no, the only thing was that without sounding like the old man saying, get off my lawn, I mean, back in the day, I bought myself an amortization book And I understood that I couldn't have more than 25% of my take-home pay go to my mortgage payment. I mean, do you expect any degree of awareness on the part of clients when they come to see you? I mean, I just to say, I want a $300,000 home. Well, it's not that simple. And the person looking for the loan can do a little bit of the homework, can't they?
Get off my lawn, Jay. What are you doing on my
Well, I'm almost
lawn?
70. Come on. I'm qualified.
Go ahead, Angela.
I think the biggest problem is we have information overload. We have AI now, and the biggest problem where there's no results being get there's no results gathered because the right questions aren't being asked. You don't know what questions to ask. So that's why I do multiple consultations throughout the experience. We're doing a 15-minute get to know you. We're doing a 30-minute review. And then we're doing it again towards closing to make sure
Excellent.
you're okay with everything before you sit and sign, because you don't know what questions to ask if you don't know. So
Excellent.
I'm a huge advocate for creating a real estate team that you trust to advise you. You can't just look on, if you can't find that person online and you can't find reviews and you can't find something of value about that person, keep looking. Keep looking. So it's there's so as far as 25% ratio, of your income going towards your payment, those are things that I will tell people. On average, that's what the idea is, but it's not actually what we're seeing in the market right now. Those percentages are much higher.
I am going to jump back in here for a second and say we are a nation of wanters of immediate gratification, and
Bingo.
we don't care if we're supposed to know that 25% of our net is going to cover our debt load. What we care about is that somebody tells us it's okay. There is still that mindset that if a lender says it's okay, that must mean that we can afford it because logic would tell you the lender doesn't want us to fail. But you know what? The lender doesn't care in most cases because that loan sits in their house while they do their application, and 24 hours later, it's off on the secondary market. They don't care. They care about writing the apps. So if you're thinking that your banker is telling you it's going to be okay and they've got your vision in mind for the next 10 years while you send your kids to school and buy cars and take vacations, think again. It is your responsibility to learn what you can afford and why you can afford it. And you can save yourself from enormous headaches if you just hire or go to some smart people who know what they're talking about and let them do their job. Okay? Just pay attention to what they tell you. You don't have to agree with everything, but gather some knowledge from some real humans who have real experience about this. I just want to thank Angela and Mike Torville again
Thank you both.
for coming on from Annie Mac Mortgage and mention that they're part of the Momentum Group. And I will put their information up so that you can reach them, of course.
Well, this is Financial Fitness, as you know, and it's always worthy information every single week. Francis, can you give the phone number again if people have questions for you?
Sure, of course, Jay. They can reach us at 413-773-3333.
Or as always, go to hugyourmoney.com. Angela and Mike, thank you very much. We'll
Thank you,
be back next
guys.
time around with
Thank
Financial
you.
Fitness with the Money Doctor. This is Financial Fitness on WHMP.